This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
Thank you for joining me here on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country for our Community Matters program. And joining me today on the Community Matters program is Rick. And Rick, you are from a non-denominational, Christ-centered men's gathering group here in Warren that I really love that whole idea of what you guys do. And really, it's cool because you bring people together in a pretty unique way. I'm glad that I had a chance to kind of talk with you a little bit and learn just a brief summary of what you guys do. So, Rick, thank you for taking the time to join me today, and I'm excited for everyone here to learn about the huddle.
Well, thank you. Nice to see you again, too.
Yeah, so. It's good to see you as well. It's been a little while since we talked last. I know, actually, the last time we talked was back in August, I believe. So
yeah,
it's been a little while. But, you know, I'm really glad to hear that the Huddle is a group that is really still growing here in Warren. It's something where you guys are making more plans. You guys have more things that you guys are working on. And really, it's something that's amazing to see. You guys have started here in Warren, and it's continuing to survive and grow here.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It took a little longer to shut up the way we originally thought, because actually we didn't have our first meeting until like in October, beginning of October. So we're still kind of newbies at this, if you want to call it that.
Once you get a group of people together that are interested in trying to solve their own problems, and then maybe they have advice and they think they can help solve someone else's problem, it really becomes pretty amazing when that's like a support group that you can have. And really, that's kind of some of the idea behind this one, I understand, right?
Yeah. Actually, that's probably one of the things that's been working the best, that some of the relationships that were established as a result of the huddle itself. The guys are reconnecting outside of the huddle to be encouraging and meeting one another for coffee and things like that on a one-on-one basis or a one-on-two basis. A lot of breakfasts, a lot of lunches.
See, and that's really awesome. And really, what I'm excited to discuss with you then is, can you kind of give us an idea of how you got started with making the huddle, and then go into a little bit for us what the huddle means to you?
Well, the Lord laid this on my heart actually a number of years ago, but has never really given me the opportunity to put any meat to it or any substance to it. I just trust it was His timing here in Warren because of the joining another friend of mine who had the same heart, the same vision. So it wasn't, you know, sometimes you get ideas and you think, well, it's just me. But when other people come alongside you and say, yeah, I believe that too, or I support that too, it kind of, well, which is the idea of the huddle, it bolsters that confidence that you have. You know, it starts with two. It bolsters the confidence that you have, and you say, okay, well, maybe we can do this.
Yeah.
So,
you know what I think a really good key word for that would be empowerment.
There you go.
Really,
yeah.
You know, one of the things that I love about what you do with the huddle is you guys have two groups that you have that you get together with on like a pretty often basis, really. And it's nice because the two groups are able to both get together and work in interesting ways where you can, in one side, take like the biblical study part of it and, you know, talk about the God said. Yeah, like the different opinions that people have with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can flesh that out in a way that you can kind of get it out there. And then the other thing that I like about that is that you have a life group. And really, that's pretty important here in this community. And I really hope that more people start to take advantage of that because really, when you get down to the basics of what it is, it's pretty awesome and it's pretty important here. So could you go through a little bit with us what that life group is? And
well,
the life group is more
geared around the fellowship and encouragement aspect more than the Bible study is. The Bible study is more geared on your personal view and how, where you get it, what it means to you. Does it empower you or does it feel like it hinders you? You know, the openness and transparency aspect obviously is key. I think we were sharing before we were talking, having the range of guys, you know, as young as 26 and as old as me, and I'm 70 and older, all right? It's just amazing how they can come together in a non-threatening environment and share life experiences. And you're sitting there back looking at this guy across the table from you, and you're thinking, wow, his life really wasn't that much different than mine. His struggles wasn't really that much different than mine. And we're talking 50-some years between us. So that was probably the biggest reality for some of the younger guys. You know, when they heard some of the older guys sharing their testimonies and their life experiences, you saw some jaws drop a little bit. Say, oh, you're kidding me. You're really? Kidding me. Oh, yeah.
See, and that's one of the things that I love about this, because it's a way where, you know, you give people that have had those experiences that, you know, you might kind of wonder if someone else has had this experience. And then what's nice about it is once you meet with someone that's also had that experience, if you haven't solved that problem yet, they really can give you quite a bit of help on trying to get past that.
Yeah. It's amazing that age knows no barriers when it comes to trials and tribulations of life, especially with the stuff that we're all dealing with today, economic issues, social issues, cultural issues.
You know, really?
And some of us, technology issues.
yes, absolutely, yeah. And, you know, when you mention that stuff, it really is just amazing to see that you guys have this opportunity for people to get together and do this. Now, with that being said, I wanted to ask, you know, when does this take place, and when are people able to get involved in these groups?
Yeah. The life groups are on Wednesday evenings, the second and fourth Wednesdays. The doors open at 6. The fellowship kind of starts at 6:30, but we're finding out that both guys just show up at 6 because they want to be there. So that's twice a month. That's, again, the second and fourth Wednesday. And the biblical studies are the first and third Saturdays of the month. So we're consistent on that. So we publish a calendar on Facebook and Instagram. No, Twitter, I'm sorry. Out on Twitter. And so that the information's out there. In fact, something new that we just started in January, and it's going to come up again in February, because some of the guys wanted their wives to get to know each other and things like that. So right now it's more of a community potluck huddle group. Okay, but we did open it up to the community. If someone wanted to just come and find out a little bit more about us, even just sharing a meal together.
Yeah.
And that happens the second Friday of every month we're having it. So,
and I understand. So, basically, with that being said, that means that this first one's going to be coming up in February, February 10th, right?
Correct.
When you sit there and sometimes you have these groups that, like, you want to join, but then you're not sure and you get worried that, you know, maybe they're, like, kind of
close-knit.
Well, the thing that I think
weird. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah. Well, the one thing that I think about with that is, like, maybe they got to know each other a little bit before you, and you're worried that you're going to be the odd man out joining late or something like that. You know how you can avoid that is when you go to a community potluck.
There you go.
Because that's when there's so many people there, and, you know, that's when they really bring everyone out for it. So, you really wanted to learn, I'm sure that'd be a great time.
And one of the things, too, again, what we try to do is create a regular schedule in such a way, the guys are working it out themselves because of their work schedules and their wives' demands and things like that. But we've had as many as 10 or 12 show up at one time, and as many as 2 or 3. And we don't look at it as a detriment or a positive. We just say, okay, that's why we did what we did. We're here. You're more than welcome to come or not, depending on what you feel your schedule can demand. And we have a direction to go and just moving ahead. So when the Lord laid the community potluck, we were really kind of curious and said, like, well, what's this going to look like? What's this about? You know, how do we get it out there? Whatever. And just like everything else we're doing, just don't worry about it. Just do what I tell you to do and move forward.
Really, it's a great opportunity where people can come together and learn about both of these groups that you have in a less formal setting, really.
Right. Yeah. And we've been fortunate. The Lord, what's the old, fill the dreams, if you build it, they will come concept.
Yes, absolutely.
You know? So we're standing on that. We really are.
You're going to be doing a men's conference, I understand?
Correct, yes. In May 5th and 6th down at the Days Inn off in Ludlow Street.
Really? So how did that come about, and how did you get started with the idea for that? And from there, how did you decide what topics you guys were going to be talking about with it?
Well, it was a core group of – we can be fairly regular core group because it's part of our design. I won't call us leadership because we're not leaders. We're following each other, basically, is what it is. Mm-hmm. And the subject matter came up, what we're doing here in the huddle is great, and we have all the little resources for this. He goes, but what about the rest of the county? And, again, I'm from Panama. And my first question was, well, what do you mean and what about the rest of the county? The huddle can't reach the whole county. It's not designed for that. It's designed primarily for the tight area of Warren. So I just threw out, I said, well, when's the last time Warren County had a men's conference? And there was like dead silence. Mm-hmm. So,
That's a really good idea.
From Warren. And this is one of the advantages. You know, I'm not from here. So I'm asking questions like a newbie, and some of the questions that you would get, you would think are rather obvious, but people don't ask them. So that's how it came about. And they said, well, why can't – my first question then was, why can't you have a men's conference? Well, you know, we have unity and you got all this thing. You got money, location. I mean, all the obstacles that came up, but they never really told me why they couldn't have one. So.
See, and you know, that's one of those things exactly, very similar to what you mentioned with the Field of Dreams quote, where if you build it, they will come. When you come up with an idea people haven't done in quite a while, it's a great opportunity that people can make use of it and do it. So I think it's really something that's amazing that you guys are doing.
Title came about actually when we were kind of meeting together a little bit. Well, actually, you're actually on a cutting edge here because officially, we're not even out there yet. Mm-hmm. The Friday night, the reason we're doing it two nights is that the Friday night's going to be more geared for, again, fellowship kind of a thing. We're going to have a main speaker talk a little bit about some subject matter. It's based off of scripture, but I think every guy can relate. And basically, it's talking about how to be in the world, but not of the world. You know, how do you separate yourself from things that are going on around you and feel empowered? Again, which is very similar to our mission with the huddle. And some good worship, some good music, and a way that you can just either relax into it, or if you're one of those kind of guys that just enjoys getting involved in the worship, kind of a singing, that you can be, do that too. So wow. That Friday night is just going to be just kind of a good night to just hang out and enjoy each other's company. Yeah. And then Saturday morning, although we're starting a little bit early, around 8 o'clock, the purpose is to really provide some, back to the empowerment aspect, the three subject matters that we're looking at putting and making available is overcoming temptations, the second one is developing healthy relationships, and the third one is making financial decisions. So you'll be able to attend two out of three the way we have it set up, and we're basically letting the conference end around 1 o'clock. So it's from about 8 to 1. Again, trying to do it so there's break times in there, and again, most of the discussions are going to be table discussions, again, with some presentation and different things like that. So
really, it's a great opportunity to kind of learn.
Right. And the speakers, I mean, we're already talking with some of the speakers who are locked down, but we're already talking to them. It's like you're not there to really tell them what to do or how to do it. As much as yours is to put a platform out there, and again, we're going to give the opportunity that if someone wants a follow up or more detailed information after the weekend, we're going to provide a way for them to get it. Okay,
wow.
So it's not someone coming in and saying, "Well, gee, I'm going to have to bring my tablet and write all this stuff down and try to remember it," and you know, you're not going to leave there an expert. So, and that's, you're just there to get your whistle wetted a little bit, I guess, and get some basic understanding and say, okay, do I have enough information that I can leave here empowered, or do I need more?
Well, and the thing that I do like about that you mentioned is that you are going to have a resource for people after they leave so that if they didn't get everything written down, they can pull up and you know, go through some of what you talked about during this. And I think that that's really important when you talk about this, because like you mentioned, people aren't going to be able to get every single thing down.
Right.
But if they can be in the moment, if they can be present for it and try to learn as much as they can there, having that extra resource to look back on is fantastic.
Yeah, we're trying to talk to some people to see what they may look like. Again, fortunately, we do have some time to kind of refine that, whether it's another date where they can come back and get maybe spend a whole morning on just that one subject matter, whether it's a series of books or videos that's out there in the general public. What we're not sure exactly. Maybe a mixture of everything. We don't know.
2023mensconference.rsvpify.com, and that's a really good opportunity for people to go to the website, and that's where they can get signed up for it ahead of time so that you guys have an idea of who's going to, how many people are going to be there.
Well, we are limited. If there's one of the, we had hoped that we would get into a facility that we could handle an unlimited amount. You know, we start with a basic, but there is a limitation on what the Warren Inn can handle, so we are capped at 200. you know, you could tell that to some people are going to say, oh, well, that's a lot of people. And say, well, that's just an average wedding.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, the other aspect is that, you know, we will be sending out some flyers and letters to some of the churches around.
One thing that I wanted to mention on the other side of that then is this is all being put together and brought to you by the work that you guys are doing from the huddle.
From the huddle,
and,
yes.
You know, with that being said, if people want to get up to date and stay up to date with some of the things that you guys are doing, you have a Twitter page and a Facebook page that we mentioned a little bit earlier. What is that Twitter and Facebook page?
Well, basically right now we're just putting dates and schedules out. We're not putting a format out there where there's a lot of dialogue. We're not sure, especially after hearing some of the conversations while you're at the huddle and there's a lot of confidentiality to it. We're not sure we want to open up that proverbial Pandora's box, in all honesty, where there's conflict on Twitter or conflict on the Facebook. We just feel that that's handled more on a personal level. We are a means to meeting one-on-one, even without coming to the huddle. Mm-hmm. If you want some one-on-one attention at a coffee shop sometime, give us, again, contact us through Twitter or the War Huddle on Facebook. We'll set up a date and sit there and answer any questions on a one-on-one. We're trying to encourage the personal relationship rather than the technology relationship aspect of it.
And that's another thing that I really like about what you do and really putting people in front of each other to have these conversations and to problem solve, because it's so easy nowadays to be what people would call a keyboard warrior or, you know, something like that. And people that are willing to just say things negatively online and put negativity out like that aren't really accomplishing anything when there are things that people can be addressing in person that will actually have an impact on other people's views. That's really what they need to be working toward, and that's kind of the goal that you guys are having with the War Huddle, which I think is pretty amazing. Yeah. Now, one more time for people that wanted to go to these events and take place and what you guys are doing. Can you go through when you guys are going to be doing your different classes again?
Yeah, on the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month, every month, there is the live groups. We call them life groups. Doors open at 6 p.m. We're usually out of there by 8:39, something like that. You know, some people hang around. Some people say, "Oh, I got to go," because they got to go to literally go to work. And then we have the biblical study on the first and third Saturdays, and the doors open at 8:30 p.m. And usually we're out of there sometime around 11:30 for this. You know, sometimes they hang around. Sometimes again, they're like, "Oh no, my wife has this thing for me to do, so I got to get out of here," kind of thing. You know, but you're there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, coffee. You know.
Really, after everything that we've been able to talk about today, I hope that people have a really good idea of what the War Huddle is and really what you guys do here in Warren, because it's really pretty important. It's fantastic to see the work that you're doing. And really, when you see this men's conference coming together, it's just exciting to see what a group of people that are all like-minded, that are working toward the betterment of a group of people in this community, can come up with.
Well, I appreciate that, Aaron. Thank you.
America, the most powerful nation on earth. The power to make decisions affecting your life begins here in Washington.
But how do you know if the people here, the people you elected, are really representing you? I'm Rachel Knapp, and that's our mission here in Washington. We know there's a lot of places you can get coverage from our nation's capital, but there's only one place where you can see what your local lawmakers are doing.
Washington Bureau reports with Rachel Knapp. Coverage you can count on. Only on Erie News Now. Community Matters on 92 Gold.
Thank you for joining me here on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country for our Community Matters program. And joining me on the Community Matters program today is Brendan Scanlon, our Erie News Now political correspondent from Harrisburg. And Brendan, thank you for taking the time to join me today. I understand things have been just really busy over the last few weeks here in Harrisburg for you, because you guys have been covering everything from since the governor's inauguration onward. There's been a lot of things going on, and really we're just getting started with legislative sessions for the year.
Yeah, Aaron, thanks for having me. Always great to be here with you. And yeah, we knew coming into 2023 that it was going to be a very interesting year, especially when we look at the legislature. Obviously, with a new governor, a new administration, a lot of different changes that we're keeping a close eye on, and a lot of exciting things that are happening down here at the state capitol.
One of the things that I wanted to discuss with you and get your opinion on now is, as we transitioned and are now in the Shapiro administration, what I'm wondering is, from your point of view, sitting where you're at right now, what are some of the things that are changing, and what are some of the things that are going to be remaining status quo between the two administrations?
That's a really great question, Aaron. I mean, obviously, some of the administrative changes, like we're going to see some new cabinet officials, so different secretaries across the state agencies, so the Department of Health, PennDOT, they're all going to see a change in leadership. Obviously, the functions are going to remain very similar. And really, you know, when we've sort of been following Shapiro for the last year and a half, as he's campaigned and ultimately was elected governor, he talked a lot about being able to work with both sides of the aisle, being a governor for all Pennsylvanians. It's something he promised throughout his campaign. It's something he spoke heavily about during his inauguration. We've seen him make a couple strides to try to you know, reach across to the other side of the aisle. Just the other day, we saw him sign an executive order that basically established sort of a one-stop shop for Pennsylvania businesses to really handle all of their regulatory burdens, whether it's licensing, permitting, fundraising through grants and stuff like that. It's essentially a one-stop shop, and Pennsylvania previously hadn't had that. And this is an order that is heavily supported by business leaders like the Pennsylvania Chamber, for example, which is usually tends to lean a little bit further right, even more fiscally conservative. So that's an example of something right off the bat that we're seeing here sort of by Shapiro reaching across to the other side, trying to promote businesses. He's really talked a lot about making Pennsylvania a sort of an envy for businesses to want to come, for startups, for entrepreneurs, and even for folks who might have businesses elsewhere but are looking to relocate. He really wants to try to make Pennsylvania an attractive place for businesses. And we also saw that too, of course, last year in 2022, when Governor Wolf signed legislation to reduce the corporate net income tax. That's something that's going to continue this year and is a big deal for many different businesses.
When you look at that executive order and really the definite move of bipartisanship that seems to show there, what I'm wondering then is, do you think that this shows kind of an era of where the gridlock finally might be starting to break up? Because I know when people had talked about this originally before Shapiro had been inaugurated into the governor's position, there was a lot of discussion on the gridlock that exists and whether him moving into this position would just be a continuation of that.
Right. And that's a really great point, Aaron. And it's a good segue into, I guess, sort of the next topic. And that's, you know, sort of what's happening in the legislature right now. I mean, when you talk about gridlock, obviously there's always a sense of gridlock, especially in the House in recent years. And, you know, it was difficult to sort of work through that, you know, from Governor Wolf's standpoint, when you're trying to push through some really meaningful legislation, when you have such, you know, parties that are on opposite pages. This year in 2023, it's tough to say if the gridlock, at least in the state house, is going to be any better. And keep in mind that affects everybody, because the Senate can't pass any legislation without it getting approved by the House, and the governor can't sign any legislation without it getting approved by the House and the Senate. So the House is a really key element here, and gridlock is something that's really on full display right now in the House. Obviously, after the November 8th election, we saw Democrats actually pick up a majority of seats. Obviously, there's a lot of different things that unfolded there with resignations and vacancies. We saw a death from a former Democratic state rep shortly before the election. So there are ultimately three vacancies. Those special elections are scheduled for February. So we're going to keep a close eye on that. And they're all in Allegheny County. So they're probably going to stay blue, probably going to stay Democrat. That's what many are speculating. But the fact of the matter is that currently, as we speak right now, Republicans technically have a physical majority of members because of those Democratic vacancies. So it's been really a spar between both parties fighting over who has the majority, trying to elect a Speaker of the House. That was the first order of business for the House back in early January. And they were ultimately able to find some compromise and elect a Speaker. Now, here's where things get really interesting is the Speaker of the House currently is Representative Mark Rossi, who was a Democrat out of Berks County. We're still not exactly sure. He did say when he accepted the Speaker nomination and, you know, ultimately nominated from some of his Republican colleagues on the other side, Rossi said that he would be Pennsylvania's first independent speaker. It's our understanding as journalists that there was, you know, some negotiations between Rossi and Republicans that he would switch his affiliation to independent. He has not done that yet. And that's certainly created a lot of drama, for lack of a better term, here in the House. Republican leadership is not very not too happy with Rossi. So we've essentially seen a bit of a stalemate. The House can't agree on a rules. We still have not seen a set of rules that were agreed upon. Now, as we talk today toward the end of January, obviously this is subject to change, but the House can't conduct any business and can't vote on any legislation until those rules have been finalized. So there's a lot of different moving pieces here that are really impacting how things are functioning here in Harrisburg because of the situation in the House. There's a lot of different appropriations bills, appropriations matters that need to be figured out. Committee assignments. I mean, we need to know which party is technically in the majority, because keep in mind, that's going to determine who has the majority on committees and what bills make it out of committee and onto the floor for a vote. So there's so much that is still up in the air right now. Obviously, rules have to come first before you could, figure out all those other, you know, legislation and orders of business. But yeah, committee assignments are big. I mean, you can't really have a functioning House, you know, without determining who's going to chair the committees, how many members are going to be on the committees, that kind of thing. So obviously, for budgetary reasons, it's a big concern currently. But keep in mind, there's other things too that the House and the legislature altogether, both the House and Senate, wanted to prioritize for early this session above all of them, really, was the 2-year civil window for victims of childhood sexual abuse. Leaders from both chambers back in 2022, so leaders from the House and Senate from both parties, along with Governor Wolf, reached an agreement that they were going to make this a top priority, this 2-year window for victims of childhood sexual abuse, which basically allows them to file civil lawsuits during that window because they're, you know, currently outside the statute of limitations. So they agreed to make this a top priority in 2023. So for the current session, you know, we've seen it gain a lot of traction and has a lot of support among some Republicans, among Democrats. House Speaker Mark Rossi is actually a survivor of clergy abuse himself from when he was a teenager, as was also Representative Jim Gregory, a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. So those were, and Gregory was the one who nominated Speaker Rossi for the nomination. And he also feels a little, I don't want to say betrayed, but Gregory's disappointed as a Republican that Rossi has not shifted his affiliation to independent, because they've worked really closely on this. They formed a really close relationship after that grand jury investigation and those recommendations to change the law, you know, based on some of those grand jury findings from that 2018 investigation into the clergy abuse. So they formed a really good relationship. And this has been something that they've been pushing for a long time. Just about 2 weeks ago, the Senate did pass this 2-year window via a constitutional amendment, which is one of the two paths to go forward. You could do this 2-year window legislatively, but it faced a lot of backlash, especially from Republican leaders in the Senate who said it's not constitutional. So that's why they're going with this constitutional amendment approach, which would essentially, if it passes the House and Senate in two consecutive sessions, it could bypass the governor and it would go onto the ballot for voters to decide. That's kind of how the constitutional amendments work here in Pennsylvania. So that's sort of where things were at. The Senate passed it along with two other constitutional amendments, like I said, 2 weeks ago, and those were pertaining to voter ID and regulatory override. Those two additional amendments are not popular among Democrats, nor are they popular among Rossi, who explicitly stated that he was not going to allow the House to consider any other legislation until it passed the 2-year civil window by itself. That's priority number one. He wants to get this 2-year window through alone by itself, nothing else tacked on to it. The Senate did tack on those two other amendments, and the deadline for the House to pass those amendments for it to be on the primary ballot would be by the end of January, January 27th. So where things are at currently, it's not looking like that is going to happen. So we're going to have to wait and see. Maybe it could get on the the ballot for the general election. But again, it really depends on if the House can get itself together and if they could maybe work with the Senate to pass this as a standalone. It's going to be interesting to kind of see how this unfolds over the next couple of weeks.
What is the best way that people can see some of these different things that you've been covering? Because really, when we're talking about some of these things, it's just the tip of the spear of what you yourself have been covering for Erie News Now.
You know, there's certainly so much to this. There's so many different layers. And, you know, obviously, we do our best to sort of break some of those layers down and give our viewers some insight as to kind of what's happening, what's unfolding, why things are unfolding the way they are and that kind of thing. So we, you know, if you want to learn more about any of these issues, we have them up on our Harrisburg Bureau page, up on our website, ErieNewsNow.com. And then really every evening on Erie News Now, you can catch our live reports. We'll be talking about it pretty extensively over the next next couple of weeks here as we watch this situation, especially in the House, unfold. But of course, you know, there's so much more happening here as well with the new administration, the Senate obviously getting some things, trying to get some things accomplished as well. So a lot of good things that are happening too, in addition to some of this this drama.
The things that are happening that you're covering in Harrisburg step out and really affect everybody throughout all of the Commonwealth. So it's really a pretty important thing that you're able to do. And I appreciate that you're able to break it down into a way that is more easily digestible for everyone that's, you know, listening to take part in these things, because really some of these issues that you're describing are pretty complex.
They sure are. And it's always an experience trying to understand it yourself and then break it down to a more understandable level for folks who might not be entirely familiar with how state government works or how, you know, these kind of things take place. But that's what we do. That's why I'm here. And I sure do enjoy doing it. So
thank you for listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click contact.